Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome to The Sesh. Today I got a special guest, and the reason why I wanted you on is because I feel like there's not a lot of mentors out there. So before we get into this, kind of introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
All right. So Jesus Pena, and I'm most importantly married to my wife for about 16 years and a husband to two children, and they're high school age and middle school age. And then beyond that, teaching career for about 20 years, something I'm very passionate about. But the thing that I'm really passionate about that we were able to start a nonprofit for is RGV Dads and creating a space for fatherhood.
So tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. So our mission statement is creating opportunities for fathers in the Rio Grande Valley through meetups and blogs, and just sharing information about fatherhood. And mission statements are great, you know, Vision is great. But what has really emerged once we do meet up is that fathers need support in mental health. For example, one time we had a meetup at 5x5 Brewery in Mission. Mm-hmm.
George Rice out there.
George Rice, and he's been in our meetings before. Very nice guy. We were just, you know, having some drinks and talking, and somebody new that we hadn't met before, his name is Reyes, he wouldn't mind me sharing his name, he walked up to our group and he said, "Hi, I'm here for the support group." And I kind of looked behind me like, oh, that's us. we're the support group.
Yeah.
And, you know, moments like that really helped me frame that what we're doing here is supporting dads. Yeah. Now, prior to that, we did have a gentleman named Joe talk to us about what it was like to go to prenatal visits with his significant other. And he would say, "Well, I'm right there next to her, but they don't acknowledge me. They don't, you know, they look at her like spouse's name. Spouse's date of birth, right. And he's like six inches away right there."
Yeah.
And so thankfully, when he shared that, we started partnering with UTRGV, for example, in the psychology clinic, and meeting with them there in their space, and again, in a support group capacity. But the lady was the professor, the doctor, she said, "You are leading this meeting. I'm just going to be a casual observer. Of course, if somebody needs my expertise, we can tap into that."
Right.
But she explained to me and shared research about how effective support groups can really be. Mm-hmm. And so ever since that moment and having the support of UTRGV, I thought to myself, wow, this is something that's going to be very meaningful moving forward.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, we've been able to apply for grants, and we've even been able to get a grant here from a local agency that gives out grants to organizations. Awesome. In the community.
Congratulations. Thank man. You. Let me ask you this. What do you think it is about support, or the word support, or therapy, or anything like that? What is it that makes people not want to go to it?
So, and I've heard this before, the whole machismo culture, right?
Yeah.
And there's also the idea, there's a stigma behind it, that if you need to ask somebody for help, that you are somehow less. You can't do it on your own. In other words, something's wrong with you. So, you know, we're trying to help everybody understand that that's not what you're saying at all. We all need help. We can all benefit from community. We are all much more wise by being a part of this network. One of the disclaimers that I make right away is that I do not have all the answers. Yeah. I am not the best father. I am not the best husband. But I am better because of the other dads that I meet in the network.
Yeah.
And that is something that I have benefited from by founding the group and being the president of the group. I am much better because of these other dads here that I've met.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I feel like there's not a lot of mentors out there because I've been looking for years, and I was lucky to start off with a couple of good mentors. Obviously, my father was a really good mentor, taught me all my business skills and taught me how to work, how to speak to people, took me out with him, and I learned firsthand from him, right? And then I got a few more mentors for business along the way. Mm-hmm. But then the older I got, the less mentors that were out there, and I just don't know if it's because people are busy or people have their own lives, and the last thing you want to do is take on somebody that they don't even know that they're investing this energy in and if they're going to do good or whatever. But I feel that there's not a lot of mentors out there. Do you see that, or what do you see out there?
Yes, I think that it can be a challenge to find a mentor. Like you mentioned, some of my first mentors were my grandfathers, my father, and then some of my uncles. These are people that really took me under their wing. And then outside of that, becoming, you know, an adult, deciding to go to college and graduate, and then get out into the professional world. Thankfully, there's been some programs around that I have been a part of through leadership and becoming a principal and being certified and things like that. I've even gotten some training outside of Texas and in Missouri, St. Louis. But like on a day-to-day basis, that's where I feel like a community like ours is really beneficial.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have meetings on Thursdays, for example, and the evening time. When, you know, we tried to choose a time that it would be agreeable for most people. And in that space, we always have like three questions where we talk about a certain topic. Like last week, it was barbecue and grilling, right? Mm-hmm. Great topic. But what always brings us back is you start flashing back. Well, where did I get these barbecue skills from, these grilling skills? And a lot of times it's from if you had a father, because that sometimes is not the case where someone has a father. But they'll sometimes name someone in their family. And so when you start reaching back into those past experiences, and then we get to our last segment, which is dadvice, a play on the word advice, mm-hmm. you start remembering what you just shared, and you start tying it into like, okay, well, how did that past experience affect who I am today? Yeah. And then so now it's a question about like, well, what's the best way that I can help mitigate my anger before I walk into my home with my family?
Yeah.
And those are the real powerful, deep conversations that we'll end up getting into after talking about maybe some of the fun stuff like grilling, right, barbecue, and things like that, which they're great in themselves.
Yeah.
But we all know that being able to be a positive influence on our family once we arrive home after a long, hard day of work, that's going to be most important.
Yeah, I feel like even going back to the barbecues, like it's one of the most primal things ever, man. Like, think about that. Like, when we were before electricity, we all gathered around a fire to cook food, and mostly it was with other men or with a family, right? Mm-hmm. And you fed your family. But going forward, it's like going back home. Like when you're full of work and you're work mode and you've been tired all day, can you kind of share some experiences like how to de-stress before you get in there? Because I'll tell you this, like, it's stressful out there. It's, for one thing, it's getting more expensive, mm-hmm. and you have to work longer. You have to work more to be able to just get the same things that you were able to in the past, right?
Yes.
But I feel like a lot of people can't control their emotions and they can't control their feelings, and especially men. And I feel that men specifically have to get that under control, because if they don't, then that's what leads to the outburst. That's what leads to the uncontrolled anger, and then whatever, like anything can trigger you. So can you kind of help people understand like some techniques that they can do before de-stress before they get home?
So on a personal level, and you know, what works for me may not work for somebody else.
Sure.
One of the things I like to do is listen to music. And so I know that you and I are probably about the same age.
42.
I'm 44. And so I'll listen to a lot of 90s music, hip hop, rock, things that I listened to back like when I was in high school or college. And so that's helpful to me because sometimes it takes me to a time when maybe I was less stressed,
yeah.
and not worried about some of the things that are happening today. So that'll generally put me in a good mood. But something very powerful that we've talked about as a group of dads is creating a safe dialogue with your spouse where you can come to them and say totally transparent, hey, I'm not having a good day. And it can be through a text message. But being able to be right there in front of your spouse and say, if one more thing happens to me, I'm probably going to lose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then for them to understand, too, that you might just need to sit in the bedroom or sit in an office space if you have one of those in your home, and just have a few minutes and then get back out there and kind of like get engage and get back into the family dynamic, right? Yeah. And then some people, they might respond better to touch. So, you know, maybe your spouse hugs you or gives you a kiss or something like that. That might be enough to kind of like, all right, you know, this is good. This is relaxing. I can get back into the flow of things.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of things that we've talked about. And I couldn't do that early on in my marriage, being honest. Like I had to be strong. I had to be able to handle this on my own. I don't need someone's help.
Marriage is a difficult thing within itself.
Yes.
So I've been married for 11 years. So I can imagine that, you know, people are go through certain things and then life experiences happen. So more stress comes in. Mm-hmm. And it's really navigating those uncharted seas together and sometimes on your own. Because I feel also that if you pick the wrong spouse, then you grow apart instead of growing together. And I feel like a lot of times spouses aren't on the same page most of the time, right? And I go back to picking the wrong spouse, because if you do pick the wrong spouse, then you're probably going to be an 80-year-old person that's getting yelled at for the same things over and over again. And I feel that. I say this all the time. It's like, the last thing I want to do is be an 80-year-old man getting bitched at about something I did in my 30s. And it might be like, you know, so I come off a little bit as rude or brash sometimes, but I feel like, honestly, like men need to have their emotions controlled. And a lot of times we don't, you know, something ticks us off or whatever. And we have a certain way of dealing with it, right? And then versus women, right? Because women are, you know, passionate. They're very patient, and where we men are not, right? Mm-hmm. We lack certain things. So I feel like it's kind of hard to help women, wives, maybe understand that about men. Do you find that, or am I completely wrong? What do you think? I'm full of shit.
No. I think you're definitely hitting some good points there. So, like I said in the beginning, I'm trying to kind of like do the marriage, but on my own.
Yeah.
And if I would just share more information and give more of myself and trust that she's not going to judge me, that she's not going to think any less of me, then I'm going to get further, right? if I let her in more. And so I think one of the things that we've talked about too in our group is that there are probably some things that you won't share with anybody. Yeah. Like maybe only your parents know, for example, for fear of someone's going to take that thing, turn around and stab you in the back with it. I think that's, if I were to guess, most people are probably carrying something like that. And that's fine. Maybe you are never going to share it with anybody else. So this is actually something that I've talked about and been through, right? But I think the more that you're able to do that with your spouse and maybe with the close number of friends, these are the people that are going to really get you. I have some friends that I've known since elementary school.
Yeah.
And maybe they live in a different city like San Antonio or far away. But the moment that we get together, it's like we never, you know, missed a beat. We were just on the same page.
Yeah.
So I have gotten more comfortable over the years. And I feel like that's helped our relationship. It's helped me. It's helped me not have the outburst that you mentioned earlier. Because it always happens that afterwards, and I know it's not for all people, but I would say for some people, you feel things like guilt and shame, and you wish you never did that. You know, it's just regret. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to feel that anymore. You start getting to a certain age where you're like, I can do better. I can be better. And that's just what I've decided for myself. I'm just going to try to be better. I want peace. I want happiness.
Yeah.
These things are very important to me. And I think I've heard you mention that those things are important to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it happens after 40, because after 40, I just stopped counting. I think I'm 42 or 43. I don't remember. I stopped counting, man. But the thing is, at this point, I kind of got my fitness on track, right? I got my eating under, because I was obese and I was depressed at some point, right? And I was like, I can't continue life this way, especially when I got young kids. I kind of have to be the role model in this house, right? Mm. So I figured it's like the rest of the time that I have left, and if I get to live long, then I need that time to be as good and as quality as possible, right? Yes. And I can't do it without my mind being right. So I had to really dig deep inside myself to figure out, like, okay, are these the things that I want to do in life? Are they adding value to my life? Are they adding value back into the community? Because at the end of the day, you live a certain life, right? You wake up in the morning and you should be happy to get out of bed. I would say most people aren't. I could be wrong, but I don't know. I would say most people aren't happy to get out of bed and then go to a job that they don't like or they do like, whatever, right? And because they're worried about the challenges that are going to happen in life, and they're just always worried. They're living in the future because they always have that worry. And they're living in the past because they carry some regret them. And so they're never living in the present. Mm-hmm. They're time traveling, right? Yeah. And in essence, but I feel like in order to be able to live your truest moment, your truest life, is you live in this moment. Like, we're having this conversation, my attention is on you. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how I feel like most life should be. And I'm not saying that you can't worry about the future or the past, right? Mm-hmm. But just don't let it consume you, because then you don't get to sleep at night. You don't get enough rest, and you're just thinking, you're racing, you wake up in the middle of the night, then you wake up tired, and then that continuation keeps happening and happening and happening over and over and over again. And then you get older fast.
Yeah.
And then time passes by like that.
That's right.
Do you see any truth in that?
All the time. And it's hard to be present in the moment. There's so many distractions.
Yeah.
You know, we've got technology distracting us, but I think, you know, in hearing everything you were just saying, it's important to me, because I think we talked about this earlier about our kids, is that they're going to be listening to others. They're going to be listening to their peers. That might be their primary source, unfortunately. But more than anything, I think my kids and other people are going to see my actions, and they're going to see how I treat people. They're going to see me help an elderly lady, you know, reach for something high on a shelf at the grocery store, let a person go in front of me. I've made sure to take my kids to insurance agents or the bank, and they hear about how to engage with another person in a professional manner.
Yeah.
Ever since they were little, because I knew that every seed that I was planting, that it was going to sow one day. And so, flash forward to when my daughter could get her first account at the bank and get a debit card with it. 13 years old is, you know, at our bank when you can do that. And without telling the bank representative this, I wanted my daughter to engage only with him, and I would be sitting in the chair right next to her. And sure enough, they did all the dialogue together, and she did a great job. And at the very end, I made sure to tell that bank representative and follow it up with an email. Yeah. That I'm very thankful for that young man, because I've been preparing her for this, for things like this.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to buy a car someday. She's going to go off to college someday. And I want her to be as ready as possible. But of course, knowing, hey, I can always call dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And get his help.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, because we were having this conversation earlier, is how I feel like there's not a lot of mentors and for men, and then there's not a lot of mentors for women, right? So my daughter's getting to the age where she's turning into a young woman, and I worry about her every single day. She's going to get into high school, and then she's going to go off on her own, and she's not going to go to college here. So we kind of have to prepare. So I do want to give a shout out to, like, the female lawyers out there, like Leah Wise and Lulu Gabby. These girls, they seem to have their life together, right? They're confident. They're ready to tackle this world, and they really don't give two shits about what's going on with anything else, because they know they got the confidence to go out into this world. Like, those are the people that you want your daughter to model themselves after, because
absolutely,
they're going after these things and these amazing big things, and they're helping out the community. Like, do you see that on your end? Like, I go back to the mentorship, because I do feel like a lot of men don't have mentors. Like, how yes. do you go up to somebody, and how do you ask for mentorship?
Well, to speak to your point about Leah Wise, she and her office, they've actually donated to RGV Dads. And one of the ways that we made that connection was she helped one of our dads when he was involved in a car accident. And so in building that relationship, we had a generous donation from her. Also, ever since my children were little, I always made sure to point out women in leadership positions. So, for example, one of the places you always find me is Sam's Club. And the woman in charge of that, I made sure that my girls met her. And then in front of her, I said, this woman runs this entire Sam's Club. At our pediatrician's office, I went ahead and asked the physician's assistant, you know, can you come over? And again, told them, look, she's working in the medical field. She's a physician's assistant. She's very successful. This is a good example. The first example, though, and I should have mentioned this before the two ladies, is my wife. You know, they're going to see her on the daily. Yeah. And she's a great example of someone who has worked in education. She's very generous of her time with her students. Schools ask a lot of teachers and, yeah, and administrators as well. So it's good that they have someone in our home that they can look to first. But I do make sure to point out all these other people. And, you know, as far as other mentors, it's happened for me just because of being in the career field of education. But in looking, because we had this as a topic for one of our meetings, mentorship, I think there's maybe a misconception that a mentor has to be someone older than you. What I've come to learn in this group is that some of the dads that are older, yes, they are good mentors, or some of the ones that they're my same age, about 44 years old. But I've actually really learned a lot from some of the younger dads. There's been a couple of cases where my mind was blown. One of them is, again, respecting our elders and in specifics, our parents. And so one of them, he lost his father. And I thought to myself, my parents don't live far away. I live in Edinburgh. They live in Harlingen. But sometimes I and I, other people I talk to view that as like, wow, that's really far. Right. It's kind of inconvenient to go that way. But I am making more time. Just this past weekend, we went to a Vipers game together, just me and them. I joked with them and I said, hey, it was like the 80s before my sister came along. And I love my sister very much. I hope she, you know, watches and knows this. And we talk and we have a great relationship. She lives in a different state than I do, but we you know, are able to keep up a good relationship. But it's important to me to just learn from these fathers, whether it's, you know, unfortunately they lost a parent, or in another case, the dad was sharing, and I can't quite explain it the way that he did. Like, I won't do it justice, but he has custody of his daughter, and he's getting remarried soon. And he was saying that we, as fathers, are growing up as we watch maybe our like 7-year-old daughter, as she's growing up, we're growing up at the same time. And sometimes you don't really put that all together. But the way that he phrased that, I was just shocked. Like, that's a good point. Because we're learning. Again, there's no manual for this. But we can be better by looking around us.
And just being aware. I feel like a lot of people, for one, they don't have conversations like this. So you need to be able to have those groups of men you can talk to. Let me ask you this. When you're going to these things on a Thursday night at 5x5 and drinking some brews with the guys, what is the conversation you have with the wife? It's like, how long are you going to take? What are you going to do? When are you going to come back? Because I feel like a lot of times, and I don't think it's just the Rio Grande Valley. So it's everybody in the around the nation, right?
Right.
We're in a marriage. We want to go and we have to have our alone time. I feel like a lot of my escape or my coping mechanisms that I have are to go lift weights and to be able to escape that hour or whatever it is. Right. But you as a man, as a human being, you need to be able to get away, be able to stay with yourself in your own mind, to collect your thoughts, be able to have that alone time. I think it's important to be able to have friends too, because I feel a lot of people don't have friends. See that?
No, you're exactly right. So these days, we're either meeting virtually or we're meeting in a hybrid fashion, right? And thank you to Batuza's Coffee Cafe in Elsa and Wesco's Daily Grind, obviously in Wesco.
Yeah.
They've opened their doors for us. We're through the grant, we're trying to target more of the Mid-Valley. We've got a good following in the Upper Valley, and we've got a great following in Brownsville. You know, we're still working on some of the cities in between, right? But what you're saying is exactly right with respect to the time. That is something that I'm always aware of. Like if I go to Topgolf, for example, personally, I'm going to Topgolf over playing a round of golf because if I go to Topgolf, I know I can be there an hour.
Yeah.
If I go play a round of golf, I'm gone like the whole morning. Yeah. And I haven't done that in forever. And
that's just nine holes, man.
And I haven't done that in forever, right? But I get it down to the minute because the way that I operate and think, it's very analytically. And so I know it's not just an hour at Topgolf. It's the 20 minutes to get there. Thank you, construction, to 83 and 281. And then maybe like 20 minutes to get back, right? Yeah. So now we're talking about an hour and 40 minutes. And when my kids are very small, years ago, I know that in the back of my mind, like she might be struggling right now because they're about 2 years apart. Yeah. And I need to get back and I need to engage and I want to be part of this, right? So the timing is very, you know, important to me. And I do understand and I explain to the guys, hey, you guys are the ones telling me that you're here in some cases because your wife told you, you should check this out. Yeah. So that's what's really cool. Our following on the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter X, right? It's, I would say on average, it's about 60% men and 40% women. And so some of the guys that come for the first time tell me, my wife or my significant other, they told me about this. They thought I should come here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool, man, come. And then there have been guys who have said, well, I'm looking for the social aspect. I'm looking to meet some friends. And you guys seem to have the same mindset that I do. I care very much about my family. And that's one thing that we talk about also is positive generational change, because some of these dads bring their children. And I joke, and RGV moms, I see what you're doing out there. You're doing great work. And I'll joke with them and say like, hey, you know, I don't know, RGV moms meeting, they might not let you bring your kids. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but, you know, one time when we were there in Wesico, I said, you know what is really exciting right now, guys? Because I just paused and like sat back for a minute. I said, our children, your children that are here, they're hearing us talk about them in a positive way. And I suspect that one day in the future, they're going to look back and say, hey, Dad, remember we went to that coffee shop in Wesico and you were with other dads and you were talking about our family and how you want us to just be a great family unit and you want the best for us and things like that. That I thought to myself in that moment, wow, that's going to really affect them and how they're going to have their relationships with their own family someday. Yeah. And so that's why I've realized over time, like what we're doing, it's not just for the moment, like we're affecting generations to come.
Yeah.
And to me, that's very special.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times it has to become habitual. Like you have to get it ingrained in you. And by going over and over and over and over tirelessly doing it again and again and again, mm-hmm. like you need to be able to have that discipline. And I feel like a lot of people don't have discipline because it's hard. Like for one, like when I started my workout journey, my whole fitness journey, it took me 6 months to get any results. And I was like, I get why people give up. Like, it's hard. Like, you fall off the wagon and you have to literally, I'm scared of not going to the gym because I don't want to take off one day I'm going to go right back to how I was. That's how fearful I am of not going to the gym every single week, man, because mm-hmm. I know it's hard. I know my tendencies. I know how I am as a person. So I'm fearful every single day. That's why I have these checklists every single day. I just check them off. And I don't think people really understand the power of a list.
Oh, yes.
You're an analytical person, right? So you kind of understand. But I feel like a lot of people just don't understand, like, you know, you need to have goals for one. Mm-hmm. You need to have something that you want to achieve in the future. And why not have it be a positive outcome? Like, I don't feel like a lot of people are going into the world knowingly or wantingly to be able to go and do something positive because maybe they feel like it's not something that is achievable. And I'll say this with the complete transparency is like I joined a nonprofit because of selfishness, right? I wanted to figure out how to help the Rio Grande Valley. And a lot of people are like, well, who cares about the Rio Grande Valley? Leave the Rio Grande Valley. You do way better somewhere else. But I was like, well, I like the Valley. Like, these are my people. Like, mm-hmm. these are my friends and my family's here. My daughter goes to school here. I know the teachers here. I know the principals. Like, I know the neighbor here. Like, why would I want to go anywhere else and have a positive impact somewhere else when I can have it here? Mm-hmm. Do you see that on your end?
Yes. So what you said is exactly how I feel. Like, these are my people. You know, we'll say, like, this is mi gente. These people are very important to me. There are some people who maybe are resistant to help or getting involved. I have come across that, and I respect that. Not everybody wants to do what you're doing. Some people are not willing to take other people under their wing, kind of like speaking to the mentorship thing. But I've been on TV, for example, regarding protesting property taxes. I mean, what if you kind of break it down, like, why would you do that, right? Yeah. Well, I do it because I know that that could mean a little bit more money in your pocket. And I know that's one way to get someone's attention real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and the thing is, too, people need to understand that as a collective, if we would all do that, then we're all kind of better off. And when they assess us again, hopefully, theoretically, it would be lower. Yeah. But the reality is, you know, there's some drastic increase that we've been seeing year to year. Yeah. The other thing that bothers me regarding that particular topic is that this information is not easily accessible in Spanish. So hello, a lot of our people, if they can read, you know, their native language is Spanish.
Yeah.
Now, some of them can't read, right? Now, I've talked to like influential people in that space, like, oh, okay, thank you for bringing that to our attention. You know, that is something that should be changed. That was years ago. It's never been changed. And what's available is a link to click on so you can get to the Spanish version. But you and I both know what the problem is with that,
yeah.
The digital divide. Mm-hmm. So these people already are at a disadvantage because of the language. And now you're going to throw a second barrier at them, which is, can I get access to it? Could I even print it if I needed to?
Right.
So it's like so many things are set so that this particular subset of people, they're not going to be able to protest their property taxes.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because even when I had the judge sitting across from me, he's like, everybody's talking about these things and they're complaining about these things, but nobody's giving ways to, like, figure it out. And I've clearly have given ways to figure it out, yet they still are unheard. So I was like, you know what, forget that. Let me join this nonprofit and figure it out, and also align the same goals that Hidalgo County has with these goals. That way, at some point, they're doing their thing, we can do our thing, and at some point, maybe we'll meet together, maybe not, but we still want to have an impact on the Rio Grande Valley, because I think at the end of the day, like, our kids are going to grow up here. They're probably going to come back if they leave, and they're going to have a direct impact on the community here. So I figure it's like, it has to be the people that are here that are going to do this. Because you get somebody from out of town that's going to come in for a $250,000 a year job that they're bringing out from in here, you know, that they're bringing over here. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about the Valley.
Right.
Like, the people here are the ones that know the Valley. They know how to speak the language. They are the ones that can move the things forward. And I feel like a lot of people that are maybe in office, I don't know, don't really see that. And I feel like it's a shame that they should, because the people here are the ones that are going to make the difference.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. 44 years old, right?
44.
How do you view time from what you have now to the rest of your life?
That's an interesting question. So these days, my belief is that I still have quite a bit of time to go. I love teaching. I love being in the profession of education. But what you can do, in this case, what I'm doing, is you can pursue other passions simultaneously. And it's especially important to me because it is having a positive change. But sometimes I do feel pulled in multiple directions. Like right now, I've got some emails that I want to respond to. I'll give you one example. Through HEB and their partnership, we do what we call a dad basket, right? And so one of our dads that's been meeting with us since the beginning of the year in Weslaco and sometimes in Elsa, I think they have like a 3-week-old baby. And you said it earlier, there's inflation, there's all these higher costs. I mean, just the cost of having a child, right?
Yeah.
That's very expensive from 0 to 18 years of age. But I'm very like preoccupied with, I want to respond to HEB because I want to get this dad basket to this guy for two reasons. One, it's going to have items to help with the baby. And two, it's going to have items for him because he needs to understand how important he is to his family dynamic.
What's
great about celebrating moms.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
So I and, you know, to address your question some more, you know, I wish I had sometimes more time to devote to RGV Dads. And I do understand we have a great board. We have our vice president, Mo. I know you've met him, Mauricio Pina. We have Tony, and we have Abiel. And we all have full-time careers. But we want to, with RGV Dads, we want to affect as many families positively as we can. But like I said, like that email is burning a hole in my pocket over here. Yeah. And I'm like, I really want to get this to this gentleman because I know it's going to be helpful. But mostly, I think, helpful in his, you know, in a psychology, you know, frame of mind. And thankfully, I did speak to him briefly yesterday, too. And he sounded just like so happy. And, you know, he was home from work and he was with the baby. And that actually does good for me when I hear how well he's doing. It just gives me like a really heightened level of joy.
I feel like a lot of times people have to be selfish to become selfless. And I always talk about that too, is because if you become selfish, you're giving yourself the opportunity to take in as much as you possibly can. And then it overflows because at some point you say, okay, I'm being too selfish. I got to give back. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people don't think that way. And I feel like if you try it and you just start being a little bit more selfish with your time, with your energy, what you're going to do, what you're going to focus on, then you can give back a little bit more. Do you see that?
Oh yeah. So in thinking about what you just said, back in college, I actually had a, someone that I worked with there, and she told me, you're real pinche with your time. For some reason, I've just never forgotten that. But I think I'm just very careful and respectful of the time. You know, you asked the question earlier, like, how much more time do you have? How much more impact can you make? And I think that there's a lot we can do. And I am thankful for a lot of nonprofits that are out there. I was at a meeting one time with a university, UTRGV, and there was a large group of nonprofits there as well. And in that moment, I kind of felt like, after hearing about all of them, like, we're really disjointed. And some of us don't know about the others. And that's a real shame. And then, of course, there's that aspect of, well, what's your mission statement? What's your vision? What do you do? And I like to kind of share sometimes with people who are willing to give me more of their time. You know, we do what needs to get done. Yeah. If a dad has a need, and I think we can find a way to address it, we're going to take care of it. And so, you know, you probably hear a change in the inflection of my speaking, but because it's that important to me. So when I mentioned like Leo Wise earlier, for example, you know, here we are in this gentleman, he had a car accident, and I knew through a friend that she could get the job done. I mean, you hear the motto, we all know it, secure the bag, right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, and here's the thing too, you don't know what you don't know. So when I talked to him, I was like, first of all, like, are you okay? And are your kids okay? And he said, well, we're not quite sure. And in that moment, boom, I was like engaged. And again, a lot of times I do this, like I check on my family first, you know, wife's okay, kids are okay. Let me talk to this guy. And I said to him, you should get checked out. Let me give you a phone number. And he's like, do you think I can do that? You know, something to that effect. I'm like, you can and you are. You know, if you trust me, right? Because this is a good reference. And I'm so glad that he did it because they got their medical, you know, covered. They got checked out. It wasn't his vehicle. He wasn't driving. It was his sister. But now she has a rental at that point. Then they even got some financial compensation by the time everything was done. But in my eyes, that doesn't happen unless he trusts me and we've built a friendship through this network of dads. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like he and his family are in a better position, and his sister too.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have to be given permission. Like they're waiting for that somebody to give them permission. That just goes back to the mentorship. Like a lot of people don't have somebody to look up to or somebody to talk to, period. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing because like I go back to the mentorship. Like it's I feel like if like what you're doing is awesome. It's amazing, right? For dads that are here. And I also feel like the other day I had a conversation with the board leader from our nonprofit, and we're hosting a class about self-love. And she was like, well, I don't really believe in self-love, and I'm not interested in having that class. But I was like, well, it's not about your interest. It's about what happens, the positive impact. So if one person in that whole class gets a positive message from it, Who cares? Our goal is to be able to help as many people as possible. So I think just kind of reframing it that way is important, because I feel like a lot of people are like, well, you're in this nonprofit, my nonprofit's better. Like, it's not.
Not a competition.
Yeah, it's not competition. Like, I feel like the crab mentality of the Rio Grande Valley is like that. Do you see that on your end?
Yes. I've tried to block out some of the noise and instead focus on some of these other people who share messages with the public and with me one-on-one. You know, there's plenty out there for everyone, guys. We can all win, so to speak. And so I definitely try to just get away from that negativity and show, you know, you need to have results. Part of taking on a grant, for example, is you need metrics. And I keep telling people that will hear me out, whether it's through the university or otherwise. Nurse Family Partnership has been a great, you know, relationship that we've had in the past. But I tell them, again, being analytical, is I can give you quantitative data all day long, but let me tell you some qualitative data. Let me tell you the story, like I shared, of this gentleman getting the attorney, or this gentleman coming to us like a support group. You know, we weren't necessarily going to focus on that, but it emerged as a need, and we want to satisfy that need. So I can give you anecdotes, too, of situations, and then when they hear them, you should see their whole position change, and they're like, oh, man, we need to help you out. We need to support you. And we are thankful that many people in the community have been receptive of us and have given us their time, their expertise, and in some cases funds through donations. You know, I'm very humbled by all of that, because we can't do some of the things that we do unless we do get some of those funds. Right. And we want to be as responsible as possible with anything that we receive, whether it's someone's time, you know, financial resources or otherwise. Even being on this podcast, for example, is an opportunity for us to reach others that we may not have otherwise reached.
And a responsibility. Like, because when you go into a nonprofit, and like me, I was reluctantly brought on, right? I reluctantly came on. you become responsible for a lot more than yourself and a lot more than the board, because your actions, they speak through the community. Like, if that guy's part of the nonprofit and look what he's doing, like that little mentality right there, it has legs, so it goes across. So like, if people don't see you as a person of integrity, of stature, of how you treat other people, I mean, that just speaks about your nonprofit. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
You know, again, with an anecdote, you know, and maybe not so much like a funny story, but a real life story, is that last week I had a email come through, and it was from a gentleman, and he said that he was at his breaking point. And I thought to myself, I need to reach out to this person, right? And so as soon as possible, I was actually going to get my own physical at my doctor. On the way there, I had an opportunity to call him back, and fortunately his wife was already in the process of taking, you know, the day off and getting him some help at a medical physician. But I could tell just in the 15, 20 minutes that we may have spoken, he felt more at ease, because, I mean, it makes sense. Someone is giving someone else their time and their listening ear. You're actively listening. And when he tells me something, I'm not trying to compete with his story.
Right.
I'm not, well, I feel, you know, level 10 bad. Well, I feel level 12. Yeah. But I'm listening to him. I'm praising him. I'm telling him, like, you think about all the things that you should be grateful for today. You know, very simple things to start off with. And so we're having just a great conversation. And then in that, I'm explaining what I'm doing. I'm going to get my physical. I want to be on this earth for as long as possible for my family and for others. Mm-hmm. And he knew, like, you know, here's someone that was willing to give of his time, and he felt better. I felt good too, because I knew, like, he's getting the care that he's going to need from a medical professional. And then he followed up too, you know, a day or two later, maybe like a text message, I think. And it made me again feel good that here he is, he's doing better than he was before. And we kind of do that for each other. Some of the dads, I don't need to be the go-between.
Yeah.
I don't, like, if you were to join and you were saying, like, well, I want to talk to Tony, for example, well, talk to Tony, he's right there.
You're grown adult.
And so a lot of that happens. And that was kind of the point. And also in the beginning, some of the other board members would tell me, like, or some of the advice that we got from very core members was, you need to make sure that you're allowing everybody to access each other, whether it's through Discord or maybe a direct message on Instagram or whatever the case may be, right? And so I've seen that, how friendships have formed, and it makes me really happy. Like, nowhere do I feel like jealous, like, oh, you guys are hanging out without me. Like, that's not cool, man.
Please do, man.
Go for it. Like, that's what this is for, right? I can't be everywhere at any given time. I can't be everything to everyone. And that's not what I'm trying to do either. Please, like, yeah, understand that. But I'm very thankful for the brotherhood. You know, you think back to, like, growing up, like, we were on teams, or some of us were in the military. You know, you have a great number of military veterans in our group, too. And so we like this camaraderie.
Right.
And like you said, sometimes as you get older, well, you might start a family and your group of friends are not starting a family. So automatically that's like a little bit of a divide, right?
Right.
But through this, you're able to get some other people who are on your same level of thinking. And then you can, you know, grow your own network too.
Yeah.
So I have seen a lot of positive outcomes and friendships and things happen because of the group.
Why do you do the things you do? I mean, it doesn't seem like you need to. Why do you do those things? What is going through your mind? What's the mindset you have? Like, why would you spend your time on other men that have their own lives? You have your own life. You got your own family. You got your own things going on. Why do you do it?
I think deep down, everybody is seeking community. When I first started the group about 5 years ago, I remember being at Bill Shute Park in McAllen. I was the only dad there with my two girls. And everybody else was, you know, a mom and their kids. And I thought to myself, this is kind of strange. I felt kind of weird, like a little bit, almost like an outcast, right? And, you know, you're also like, well, I don't necessarily want to spark up a conversation. Like, that's kind of odd, too. Yeah. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. So there was that aspect of it. And I started reaching out at first to dads that were located in the East Coast, New York City, Staten Island. That's how I learned. I mean, I'm right here in the Rio Grande Valley. We got Home Depots here. Yeah. Why does James Lopez in Staten Island have to be the one to help me learn for the first time that we have these kids workshops?
Yeah.
But that's the way that the digital world works sometimes. So I'm very thankful for those guys and them being trailblazers. They've been on all kinds of media shows, podcasts, etc. And I've been able to get great information and great advice from them. But, you know, coming back over here to the Valley is that, again, this is our space. These are our people. And, you know, seeing even my sister hurt, seeing my cousin hurt because, well, the dad no longer stayed involved in the family dynamic. And in one case, I can say that the father of the gentleman was, he had a very good career, and it kind of didn't make sense to me. Well, maybe he was too busy with his career to guide his son, for example. You know, I could have just spent so much time thinking about all the reasons why not. But the simple thing that I thought we could do is, well, let's present a good example then. And I know not everybody grows up with a father and they don't have a good example right near them. So maybe this group could serve as a good example of what. These are some of the information never comes out as you should do this. Instead, it comes out as this is what I do, this is what works for me, and then other people get to decide, hey, that might work for us too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right going that route, because when I lost a bunch of weight, I was getting into shape. I was like, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And everybody's like, man, fuck off, dude. Like, I don't listen. So that's when I came across as like we were trying to help out so many people. And I was like, you can't help people unless you inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to inspire them first. And it is, this is what worked for me. It might work for you. And I had to learn that the hard way, man, because everybody's like, dude, shut up, man. Like, stop talking to us, man. We don't want to hear your journey. So I was like, yeah, it is literally through inspiration, man. Like, you have to inspire your community. That way people look at you as like, okay, if this guy can do that, then maybe I can too. I'll try it out. And I feel like that a lot of people don't really have, like, I go back to the mentorship. Like, a lot of people don't have somebody to look up to because it's the internet. Like, a lot of people are full of shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where I always ask everybody, is like, what are your thoughts on everybody has a voice on the internet? What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. Everybody does have a voice. Some voices are louder than others. Whenever possible, I like to try to get, you know, one-on-one with the people, because I think that's when you're going to find out, hey, this person is who they appear to be. Phone conversation. The other day, a dad reached out on Facebook, and I noticed he's not from the Valley. He's actually in Wisconsin. And then you never know if someone's real or a bot, right?
Yeah.
So I send a follow-up email like, hey, why don't you share a little bit about yourself? Because I know a bot's not going to be able to answer that question, right?
It might now.
It may. Right? But at least for now, I felt fairly confident. So he responds, right? And he made the mistake of putting his phone number there. And so I called him up because I had a moment. And a human being, he answered the phone. And in that moment, I learned not only does he want to be a part of our Thursday meetings, but that he's connected to like a conference called At Home Dad Conferences and stuff. And they've been going on for years.
Wow.
See, these are things we don't know unless maybe I pick up the phone and make that call.
Yeah.
But I started looking at his closing on his email and I thought, hey, this guy, he has a lot of value and he's not from here, but I bet you he'd be willing to help us out in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so our guys actually get on different levels of commitment, right? There's no sign up, there's no dues or anything like that. But for example, some guys miss a meeting and they're like, hey, or I'm going to miss a meeting. They say, but I saw the questions and I answered them. Can you share this with the group? And I say, sure, of course. And I do faithfully. I'll share their answers. Or like someone maybe joins like 5 or 10 minutes, say like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm late. And I'm like, hey, it's not a school classroom or something. Like,
yeah.
You're welcome to come and go as you please. Right.
Right.
And then, you know, different levels of engagement and commitment. Some people might join for the first time and not say anything and just listen. And then maybe it'll be the second or the third meeting and they'll finally be like, hey, you know, I'd like to share regarding this question. And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't. And they'll say like, I'm sorry I didn't share like in the last couple meeting or two, but I was just kind of listening and learning. And I thank you guys for what you're sharing. And I'm like, wow, like that's perfectly fine. Like feel free to engage anytime you want. You're not required. You don't have to have your camera on. This is not COVID schooling, you know, have PTSD from that. Right. But, it's just interesting to me how many people,
have their guard up.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, because I chat with it. Like, I chat with a lot of people and they have their guard up too, which is fine. I completely understand it because you're not going to go into the world and tell everything about yourself.
No,
right.
No.
So you do want to go and get your due diligence and you want to learn a little bit about the group that you're about to go into.
Absolutely.
And going back to the social media part is one of the reasons why I started the podcast years ago and started having an online image and brand is because one day when my kids grow up, they'll be able to look back and learn a little bit more about their dad, what he was about, the conversations I had, the willingness to go out into the world and present himself to the world in a professional, or they might not think it's professional when I cuss, but that's part of who I am, right? So
right.
I feel like this is the groundwork for what the person they're going to see in the future, because I'm not always going to be around, right? And when my kids grow up, they'll maybe look back at something that I talked about in this podcast or in something that I said, and that one little piece of insight might help them along that day. And it might help them somebody else, like a complete stranger. But I feel like going through these social media and presenting yourself in the best way possible is a type of mentorship that a lot of people don't have. And I think once they gravitate towards that, they see that, then they figure like, okay, it's okay to be like this. It's okay to go out into the world to maybe use some bad words or foul language to get your point across a little bit more, but also always be professional and take into account the other person's feelings, right? So
100%.
I feel like that's a big important thing for me, because I've always struggled with authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. People talk about authenticity. I was like, what does that mean? I ask everyone, I said, what does authenticity mean? It's just being the truest form of yourself. So this is the truest form of myself. When somebody walks in, they're going to get the exact same thing all the time. And people might be taken back with a few words that I use. But that's at the end of the day, I found that I'm not going to be for everybody. And everybody's not going to be for me. And I'm fine with it. It took me a long time to figure that out.
It takes a long time, yeah.
But that's just how life works. Yes. Can you kind of touch on it?
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly when I can pinpoint it, but it possibly happened in my 40s as well, is that you start really being who you are. And you quickly learn some people don't like that. And that's going to be their prerogative, right? You know, this is how I am. This is how I operate. I am trying to do things as possible in a godly manner, yeah, and trying to do things in a positive way. Things aren't always going to happen like that because that's the nature of human interaction. You know, unfortunately, you know, I or the other person might do something and I might, you know, so to speak, stoop to their level. But I feel like at that point, I've tried to exhaust every other avenue and now we just have no other choice. Yeah. So like, kind of like people say, like, now I had to go there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, thankfully, I think in most cases, I don't do that very often. But when people hear me say some bad words because of what my career is and what my profession is, they're like, what? Yeah. That's, where are you coming from? You know, or maybe I post something on social media and they're like, whoa, yeah, we didn't know that about you. And I'm like, well, you know, that's how I feel about it. I'm happy to talk to you about that if you want to.
Right.
But some people, they don't want to have that conversation. Or in some cases, I've gotten the very long text message from somebody and I've told them, look, when you said that, because unfortunately, I'm the type of person to, I'll lose sleep over something like that.
Yeah.
At least at that time I was. And I made sure that I said my piece and I sent them an equally long paragraph. But what was really cool is that in that moment, we accepted each other's viewpoint. And I think that's what's really missing. We need to have a discourse with each other that I'm going to hear you out, you're going to hear me out. And in the end, hopefully we'll have respect. And if it's worth it, we're both going to continue in whatever working relationship, friendship, whatever that may be. But I've definitely, you know, had to come a long way to get to this point. And for various factors, sometimes they can include financial. Sometimes they can include in career. And sometimes it's just very personal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's taking me years to come to a point where I feel like fully comfortable. But I wanted to just speak to, in reference to RGV Dads and the nonprofit, one of the things I really like about it is that I'm able to include my family in sometimes the creative aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the events, try to include them as much as possible. There are some events where it's exclusive to dads, not as many probably, but the other dads can usually include their family too. Like I joked earlier when I said, well, you brought your kids to your RGV dads meeting, but I'm not going to tell you like, hey, they need to sit out in the hallway or something.
Yeah.
No, instead I say like, hey, go ahead and we're having a little coffee. Like they have lemonade here. Get them a little lemonade or a water or something too. Yeah. Like I want them to feel loved and included. You know what I mean? So I feel like in doing this kind of nonprofit work, it's very inclusive of our families and what we do pretty much like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I really enjoy about it.
Cool, man. Well, what do you got coming up next for RGV Dads? Kind of share that information.
So here's an event that I'm really excited about. We've been a part of it for the past 2-3 years. It's a San Carlos Kite Fun Fly Festival. I got it right. And it's the 25th annual Kite Festival.
Nice.
It's been going on for 25 years. And this man, Juan Reyes, is just an amazing guy. He's not a teacher by profession, but he's definitely, you know, of course, a husband, a father, a teacher. But I went to him one time with my kite issue. Uh-huh. I've been flying kites since the 80s, but went to him with my kite issue because now we bought, of course, a more complicated one, a nicer one through Amazon, right?
Yeah, some of them get pretty complex.
It was pretty complex. And so I said, you know, Mr. Reyes, having trouble flying my kite. And I just, honestly, I wanted him to fix it, right? So I could just go fly the kite. But instead, he talked me through step by step on how I can fix it. And patience, right? You don't always get that from other people, other men.
Right.
But he was very patient with me. He talked me through the whole process. And then he said, now let's go try to fly it. So he stuck by me. To me, that was huge, right? And it flew, of course, right? I knew it was going to fly because he also shared, again, qualitative data, an anecdote. He told me one time he was at South Padre Island. He got a kite together through using some plastic bags, a couple of sticks, some fishing line, and he flew that thing. And I was like, this guy is like MacGyver. You probably get that. I know some people might not get that, but this guy can do almost anything.
No, I think you're right, dude, because I've bought a kite before and I couldn't fly the damn thing. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me, man? This thing should be going up right now. I was like, and my kids are looking, I was like, fix this, man. Come on, let's go. And right. I could not get it up. I was like, all right, forget this kite's broken here, man. So, no, I get it.
Yeah. So we have that event coming up on April the 6th, and it's in San Carlos at the San Carlos Endowment Center. If you go to rgvdads.com, of course, you would find all the information for that event. It's not an event that we created, but it's definitely one that we like being a part of. It's a good chance to get outside with your family, get outdoors, take a break from technology, you know, shoot a couple pictures and video, of course, but it's just been a great event. And I know that they do these things like in big cities like Austin at Zilker Park. Why not, you know, have the Valley, as many people as possible? And there's a good number of people out there, but there's room for more. Yeah. There's that field is plenty huge there. And would love to see some more people there. Every Thursday night, we're meeting for Zoom into Dad's Mental Health. That's the official name of the program that we offer. We're doing this sometimes virtually and then sometimes in a hybrid nature where we're meeting mostly in Weslaco or in Elsa. And then we do one of our anchor activities, thanks to James Lopez out of Staten Island, New York, is the Home Depot Kids Workshop. And so it's the first Saturday of every month.
Okay.
And it's from like 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. But you need to know that at some of these Home Depots, now you need to sign up in advance. And just because there's such demand. So if you don't sign up in advance and you just show up, chances are they're not going to let you participate. And obviously, if you have a young child with you, that's going to be crushed. A big time heartbreaker. I would not recommend that. So, but we've made like little Instagram reels and things of how to go to the website, click here, click there. And this is how you access all the information. We try to make it as easy as possible so that dads can get involved in the activities that we're doing. So rgvdads.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X. That's where you can find us. If you send a message, I will probably be the one to personally answer that. And I try to do that as quickly as possible because I know Facebook is keeping record of how quickly we're responding.
Yeah.
And I want some good feedback in respect to that.
Awesome, man. Before we finish off the podcast, thoughts on Bitcoin? I talk about this at exhaustion and people get offended, man. It's like, do not talk about that. And I was like, thoughts on Bitcoin, man.
I mean, I've been hearing about it and been told that even at one point you should be mining this, and I did not, and I regret it. And so most recently, actually, when you were sharing more about it, I said, you know what? I'm going to pick up some Bitcoin. So I have picked it up. I am gaining, you know, financially on that. I think it's just an opportunity to diversify your portfolio.
Sure.
I think, you know, we talk about living in the present, but you got to live in the future. And of course, there are some investments that are definitely more practical, like having a 401k, a 403b, or something of that nature. Those are obviously very important, but I feel like I need to diversify and try to get some cryptocurrency. And just to be transparent, this is not financial advice, but you know, I've taken losses too. But whenever I take a loss, whether it's in real life or in this cryptocurrency, for example, you know, you got to be learning from that experience. Because if you're not doing that, you're just going to repeat mistakes and you're going to dig yourself a hole and you're going to be in trouble. And you don't want to bring your family along for that trouble. That would be highly irresponsible.
And that same note, do not take investment advice from me either, because I've lost $27,000 on digital land, digital horses, NFTs, and all that stuff, and I dragged my partner down with me. So that's the part where I have
disclaimer.
Disclaimer right there, man. So all right, guys, we'll see you next time on The Sesh. Later.